The reading today is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. This can be found on your screens. Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if they were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they too were told what had happened on the way. Then they too told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank you for this precious time to come together as your family and to listen to and to think about your word. Please open our eyes to see wonderful things in this part of the Bible. And please fill our hearts with your joy this morning. Amen. Well, today we're learning about a very famous journey which happened on the first Easter Sunday, a journey which happened on the very day that Jesus rose from the dead. Two disciples were walking from the city of Jerusalem, and they were walking to the village of Emmaus, which was 7 miles away. So in modern terms, we'd think of this as a COVID socially distanced walk. There they were, two of them going for a 7 mile walk together. And at the start of the journey, they were sad and unbelieving. And that's why I've put this picture of Eeyore from the Winnie the Pooh books. He was often sad in those books. But by the end of the journey, they were excited and convinced. And that's why we've got Tigger from the Winnie the Pooh books there. And so I want us to see this morning what it was which took them from being sad and unbelieving to being excited and convinced so that we too can be excited and convinced about Jesus today. Now, at the start of the journey, Luke tells us in his account that these two disciples were talking about everything that had happened. So far that day, some of the women disciples had been to Jesus' tomb and they'd found the tomb empty. And they met with an angel who told them that Jesus had risen. And so the women disciples went and told the other disciples what they'd seen and heard. But we know that the other disciples didn't understand what they were saying. The other disciples didn't believe them. The other disciples thought their words were nonsense. And it's these things which our two disciples were talking about as they walked along. And then Luke tells us, as they were walking, Jesus himself came and joined them. But we're told in verse 16, they were kept from recognizing him. They didn't know it was Jesus. Now, why didn't they recognize him? It may be that the risen Jesus looks a little different to he did before, but actually we're told they were kept from recognizing him. God deliberately closed their eyes to the fact that it was Jesus because God wanted to teach them something before they realized that Jesus was with them. So there they were, walking along, and the risen Jesus was with them, but they didn't know it. And Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" And they stopped and they looked very sad. And they said, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem that you don't know what's happened here these days?" Well, of course, Jesus knew what had happened. These things had happened to him. But Jesus said, "What things?" And they said, they started to explain to Jesus what had happened to him. And they said, "Well, the things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So they were saying, "We had hoped that Jesus was the one who would rescue God's people. But now he's been crucified, and so we must have been wrong." That's why they were so sad. They thought that Jesus being crucified was a defeat and meant that he was not God's rescuer. Well, then they continued. "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." So these two disciples, they'd heard about the empty tomb. They'd been told about the angels saying Jesus is alive again, but they didn't believe it. At this point, they were still like Eeyore. They were sad and unbelieving. So what happened to change them? What was it that took them from being sad and unbelieving to being excited and convinced? Well, on the journey, Jesus taught them two things. And the first thing is, they realized that Jesus had to suffer. They realized that Jesus had to suffer because this was God's plan to save us. Let me read what Jesus said to them in verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained what is said in all the scriptures concerning himself." So in other words, Jesus said to them, "How silly you are, but also how stubborn you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophets have said." You see, they thought that Jesus being crucified and suffering meant that he wasn't God's rescuer. But Jesus told them that all of the prophets, what we call the Old Testament, made it clear that God's rescuer had to suffer these things before he entered his glory. If only they'd listened to the Old Testament and believed it, they would have known that God's rescuer had to suffer these things. And so as they walked along the road, Jesus took them through the Old Testament. And what a Bible study it must have been. He showed them how in every part of the Old Testament, it was saying that Jesus had to suffer and then enter his glory. Now, I don't know exactly which bits of the Old Testament Jesus took them to, but around the room, I've got four big bits of card. And if you've got one, in a second, I'm going to ask you to bring it up. And they've got numbers 1 to 4 on them. And we're going to look at four parts of the Old Testament which Jesus might have shown them to. And I'm going to get this first one here. Maybe Jesus showed them about the serpent crusher. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent or the devil tricked Adam and Eve into turning away from God, and their relationship with God was destroyed? But in that very same chapter, God promised that one day he would send a rescuer. God said that one day a descendant of Eve would crush the serpent's head, but that that descendant's heel would be wounded. Now, the serpent crusher is a promise pointing forward to Jesus. He is the serpent crusher. Jesus' heel was wounded on the cross, but in his death and resurrection, he defeated the devil. Let me put that there. Maybe that was one of the passages that Jesus showed them. Who has got my number two, please? Do you mind, Roger, bringing it up? Thank you so much. This is another part of the Old Testament Jesus might have shown them that day. Now, if I hold this end and you hold that, we're socially distanced. Maybe he told them about the suffering rescuer. Now, this is the life of Joseph, also in the book of Genesis. You remember Joseph's life? He was beaten up by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He languished in prison for years. And only after all that suffering did he become Pharaoh's right-hand man, and he used his power to rescue his brothers from the famine that came to Canaan. Well, Joseph, the suffering rescuer, points us forward to Jesus, the suffering rescuer. He suffered just as Joseph did. And then he entered his glory. And now he rescues all who trust in him. Roger, thank you. I can handle it. Thank you very much. Who has got piece number three, please? Would you mind, Graham? Thank you. This is a third passage that Jesus may have shown them to. Maybe Jesus talked to them about the suffering king. Now, King David was the greatest of all the kings in the Old Testament. But before David came to the throne, he suffered greatly. Psalm 22, one of his songs, David wrote, my God, why have you forsaken me? David suffered so much, he thought God had abandoned him. And then he came into his power and glory. Well, David, the suffering king, was pointing people forward to Jesus. He too suffered. On the cross, he said the same thing. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then he entered his power and glory. Thank you. Lovely job. And then number four, who has that? Jeff, thank you so much. Do you mind? Thank you. Last of all, maybe Jesus taught them about the suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53. Now, this was the passage we looked at as a church on Good Friday. That God, God promised in Isaiah 53 that his servant would come who would save his people from their sins. But Isaiah said this about the servant. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Now, that was written 700 years before Jesus. But isn't that exactly what happened to Jesus? On the cross, he was pierced for our transgressions. He took the punishment we deserve and brought us peace with God. Thank you. Lovely. Now, I hope you can see these pieces are meant to form an arrow. And that's to show us that the whole Old Testament, the Old Testament in its entirety, points forward to Jesus, and especially to his sufferings, his death on the cross, and the glories that would follow his resurrection. The two disciples, they thought that Jesus couldn't be God's rescuer because he suffered. But actually, the Old Testament always showed that God's rescuer had to suffer because this was God's plan to save us. Have you realized that the whole Old Testament points forward to Jesus? It's such an exciting thing to start to see in the Old Testament, how it points forward to him. It shows us that God is in control, that God has always had a plan to save us. It shows us that Jesus is God's rescuer and that his death was no defeat, but he died just as God promised to save us. Now, the two disciples on the road were so thrilled as Jesus showed them this that a bit later they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Now, that wasn't heartburn, the bad kind of heartburn. They were so excited. They said, our hearts were burning within us. as Jesus showed us that the whole Old Testament pointed to him and his death and resurrection. And indeed it is thrilling as we see that the Old Testament points to Christ. So we're joining the two disciples on their journey from Emmaus to Jerusalem. And Jesus came and he walked with them, but they didn't realize it was him. And the first thing that Jesus taught them was that he had to suffer. This was what the whole Old Testament had said. It was God's plan to save us. But Jesus taught them something else too. And the next thing they realized is that Jesus is alive again. So Luke tells us in his account, as they approached the village of Emmaus, Jesus acted as if he was going further. And the two disciples urged him to stay with them. Perhaps they said, look, it's getting late. You must be tired. Come and eat with us. Come and stay the night. And so Jesus agreed to stay with them. And then we read this in verse 30. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So suddenly their eyes were opened. Suddenly they saw what had been staring them in the face all along. The person with them was the risen Jesus, and he was alive again. Now I wonder why their eyes were opened as Jesus broke the bread. We don't know for sure. It's probably because it's something they had seen Jesus do so many times before. These two disciples probably weren't there at the Last Supper. That was just the 12 apostles. But in the Gospels, again and again, we read of Jesus sitting and eating with his disciples and breaking bread with them. And so now, as once again, they see Jesus doing what they'd seen him done so many times and say grace and break the bread and serve it out, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They realized that Jesus is alive again. But as soon as they recognized him, Jesus disappeared from their sight. Now, why did Jesus disappear like that? It's because he wanted them to learn to rely on what the Bible said about him and not just on seeing him with their own eyes. That's the whole reason why they were kept from recognizing Jesus in the first place. Jesus wanted to teach them what the Old Testament said about him before they recognized him. He wanted them to learn to rely on God's word and not just what they could see with their eyes. And that means that we too can know that Jesus is alive, even though we haven't seen him yet. You see, we have the Old Testament, which is full of promises about Jesus, all of which have come true in every detail. Promises about his death and his resurrection. And we have the New Testament, the accounts of the people who saw the risen Jesus. The New Testament shows us they weren't silly or gullible people. They had to be persuaded that Jesus had risen by seeing him, even touching him. But once they were persuaded, they went on to suffer and even to die for sticking to the truth of what they had seen, the truth that Jesus rose again. The New Testament also shows us how the living Jesus transformed people's lives in just the same way that he is transforming people's lives today. So the two disciples realized that Jesus had to suffer. It was God's plan to save us. And they realized that Jesus is alive again. And what a difference it made to them. At the start of the journey, they were sad and unbelieving, but when they'd realized these things, well, they became excited and convinced. Now, I'm going to try and show us the difference that realizing these things made to the disciples using this bottle of Coke. And I practiced this on Friday, and it went quite badly wrong, so let's see how it goes this morning. Imagine that this bottle of Coke stands for those two disciples. And then imagine that these two white things stand for the things they realize. So this is realizing that Jesus had to die. And this one is realizing that Jesus is alive again. And what we're going to do is we're going to put these two realizations into their lives, into the bottle, and see what difference it made to them. So all I have to do is unscrew the cap here. That should be easy enough. Pop those two in. And then I'm going to screw this cap on, which has got a hole in. And we'll just see. What effect did this have on them? I think you'll be okay there, Penny, but I'm not 100% sure. remember what we're seeing here. You know, what difference did it make to them as they realized these truths? good grief. Okay. So they realize these things.
Wow.
What an effect it had on them. When they realized that Jesus had to suffer, when they realized Jesus was alive again, they were fizzing with joy. They were exploding with enthusiasm. They couldn't keep it to themselves. That is the effect it had on them. Now, Luke tells us that when they realized these things, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. It was nighttime. They're in their pajamas. But they got up and they dashed back to Jerusalem. They were so excited, they wanted to tell the others what they'd seen. But when they got back to Jerusalem, the other disciples were excited as well. And they were saying, it's true. Jesus has risen and appeared to Simon. He'd appeared to Simon Peter that same day as well. And then our disciples started to tell them everything had happened, how Jesus had explained the Old Testament to them, how their eyes had been opened and they'd realized Jesus was alive. You can sense in Luke's account the excitement bubbling up in these disciples. What a change. They were excited and convinced. So as we finish, my friends, let me ask, have you realized that Jesus had to suffer? It wasn't an accident. It was God's plan to save us. Have you realized that Jesus is alive again? Now, it's God who opens our eyes to these truths. If we're not sure about them, what we should do is pray to God and ask him to make them clear to us. If God has opened our eyes to these truths, well, we should thank him he's done that. And then we should be excited like those two disciples were. And the problem for many of us is we can be terribly British and we don't show excitement very easily. But isn't it thrilling that the whole Old Testament points forward to Christ? So exciting to see God's plan worked out through the centuries. Isn't it thrilling that Jesus is alive again? So exciting. Death is defeated. Our Savior lives. We will spend eternity with him. So let's pray that God would make us excited about these things. And let's pray that God would help us, as the individuals we are, to know how we can show that excitement. So when we pray about what God has done, telling God how thrilled we are, when we sing about Jesus, we can find ways, even if we're unmusical like me, to show our joy. At the moment, we can't sing, but I think we can even show our joy as we listen to singing. When we talk with one another after the service, talking about Christ, can we show with our tone, with the words we use, that we are thrilled about him? And even when we talk with people who don't follow Christ yet, if they ask about church, if they ask about our faith, we can find ways to show it's not just a dry religion to us. These are truths about which we are deeply excited. So those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they started off sad and unbelieving. They realized that Jesus had to suffer. It was God's plan to save us. They realized that Jesus is alive again, and they were excited and convinced. May the same be true of us. Let's pray. Lord, please open our eyes to these truths and help us to see them more and more clearly. Please give us excitement in our hearts about these things, and then show us how, as the individuals we are, we can show that excitement. Amen.